All right, here we go. Episode, I don't know what episode this is. I got Dr. Lou De Palma here today. Good old Louis De Palma. Anyway, I'd like to thank my sponsors. As always, first and foremost, Keys Coffee Company, www.keyscoffee.co, 505 Southern Street, the very best coffee, juices, smoothies, and more, breakfast and lunch. I don't know. They're constantly doing new things. I think renovations are coming down the way, so be on the lookout for that. You want something delivered, they'll deliver to you. You want something take out, they'll take it out for you. They'll let you take it out. You want to eat in, enjoy the atmosphere of, you know, downtown Key West like a local, hit them up, 505 Southern Street. Yeah, I go there 2-3 times a week. I don't know, because, you know, it's the way I do it. This is how I do it. Keys Coffee Co. Also, don't forget, don't sleep on the cafecito down there at the Hyatt. All the way down to the Hyatt. Watch the water. Watch the sailboats go by. Drink a little coffee, a little tutoroots. You know. Down there, two locations. Not one, but two. The ever-expanding Keys Coffee Co. Serving the Key West public. By and large. All right, number two. Speaking of twos, Tutu and Co. It's a dive bar for unicorns. Located at 504 Angela Street. Constantly things are happening. What am I doing right now? I don't know. I'm putting up Halloween decorations because it's spooky season, because the summer's over. I'm closing out the summer. Rolling out the Halloween menus. So we got a whole list of brand new cocktails for the spooky season of Halloween, Old Hallows Eve. Yeah, something's always happening. Don't forget about Q Mitch on Sundays. Drag Queen Bingo, Screaming Banshee, raising money for charity week after week. It's a Key West tradition. Like I said, 504 Southern Street. Tutuandco.com. Go buy a t-shirt. Go do something. Spend your money. We're living that Barbie world. We got Barbie cups right now. You want a Barbie to-go cup? Get yourself a Barbie to-go cup. I don't know. And then lastly, but not leastly this week, Stone Soup Gallery. The lovely, lovely people at Stone Soup Gallery, 802 White Street. Always support me and doing whatever I'm doing, and I appreciate that. 802 White, Stone Soup Gallery, Frame Shop, all that stuff. Get your stuff framed. I'm going down there. I'm going to get a picture of Frankenstein or Frankenstein's monster, whatever they call it. Don't be that guy. And the Bride of Frankenstein. So if that's not Frankenstein, is it the Bride of Frankenstein's monster, or did Dr. Frankenstein actually, you know, marry the Bride of Frankenstein? I don't know. Makes no sense. But who am I to say? We're just splitting hairs here. I don't know. Whatever you need. I'm sure they're going to start doing Walk on White again soon. But they've been supporting me for my Heads Up Key West project, providing a location for me to take pictures of the beautiful people of Key West. 802 White Street, Stone Soup Gallery. Hit them up. Do the thing. Here's the theme music. Boom!
It's Tom Flip's podcast show. It's Tom Flip's podcast show. It's Tom Flip's podcast show. It's Tom Flip's podcast show.
All right. I got Dr. Lou De Palma here, New Jersey's own. Recent transplant from New Jersey into Key West. I don't know actually where you were before
actually,
this. But
I actually was in Bradenton for a year, but
Bradenton, okay.
Madison, Wisconsin for 10 years.
Get out of here. I didn't know you were hanging out in Wisconsin. All right. So, Dr. Lou, you made it to Key West.
I did.
Why? How did you get here? This is how I start every podcast. What brought you to Key West?
Well,
what brought you to our fair city?
Here's the story. I was director of sales and product support for an enzyme company up in Madison. Okay. And I decided to retire from that job, came to Florida, took a year to figure out what I wanted to do. Came to visit my friend down to Key West.
Hang on, you're officially retired?
Well, I wasn't officially retired. I retired from that job.
Okay, you retired from that.
I'll never retire. I enjoy helping people too much.
Okay.
So as the director of sales and product support, I helped a lot of doctors around the country, and I enjoyed doing that. But I decided the job wasn't for me because of certain reasons with working for someone, and I decided I wanted to be an entrepreneur again.
Gotcha.
So I came down, visited my friend Dr. Lawrence.
Okay.
And I drove into town before I even saw him. We'd known each other for 20 years, and I fell in love with Key West.
Yeah.
I thought, this is my place.
What a magical little place, right?
I want to be here. So he just started that practice, and he said, come down, there's room for you.
Yeah.
I said, great. I'm here.
Yeah. I feel like there is room.
There was a place for rent right there that weekend. I came down. I said, I'll take the place. I'm coming down.
So now you're a Key West resident.
I'm a Key West resident.
Love it. And so you were, how long were you in Florida for?
I was a year. I was a year in Florida. In fact, I was, after being in Bradenton, I didn't feel like Florida was for me.
Yeah.
And I was ready to leave.
I get that.
I was ready to leave. I've done a lot of work back in New Jersey. I was just taught a class up there, and I thought, well, maybe I'll go back to New Jersey after all these years. But then I came to Key West, and history. I'm here now.
I can't imagine. I went back to New Jersey just to visit in the end of July, and after I was over there for like 10, 11 days, something like that, and I'm like, I couldn't do it. I can't do it anymore.
I know.
The traffic and the competition, and it's just like it's a whole different world. I mean, I've been down here a long time, so it's hard for me to imagine going back and being somewhat happy. It's just something about the whole pace, and the average stress level up there is astronomical.
But it makes you appreciate what you have here.
It definitely does. But it also, every time I leave, I'm like, I just want to come back to Key West every single time without fail. And then every time I take the cab from the airport back, home or whatever, which is all like, a mile. But I'm just like, I'm always like, oh, thank God I'm home. But it is weird that, I do appreciate Key West, but you get, I guess, complacent with it. You probably haven't experienced this yet, but like, because, life takes over, and to get away and come back it really does make you appreciate what you have.
Oh, absolutely.
Have you visited Key West before? Is this the first?
I was here 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I took my kids on a vacation to swim with the dolphins.
Gotcha.
And but that was in and out,
Yeah. How many kids do you have?
I have two kids. I have a son who's 33, going to be 34 in October. And I have a daughter who's 31.
Okay.
And I have two grandchildren and two more on the way.
Back in New Jersey or Wisconsin?
No, my daughter lives in Nebraska. My son lives in Arizona.
Nebraska. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What's in Nebraska? I drove through Nebraska once. I didn't see a damn thing. It was the flattest earth in the world. And I was like, I don't know how anybody would ever. I don't even remember seeing a town.
Yeah, they have football and cornfields.
Yeah. What does your daughter do in Nebraska?
She's a pastry chef.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah. All right.
So that's what she does.
So you are, for the listeners, you're a chiropractor.
Correct.
And a dietitian?
I'm a chiropractor. I specialize in enzyme and nutrients that combine with enzymes, botanicals.
Okay.
So I've used enzymes in my practice since 1986.
Okay.
So I've been in that field of combining nutrition with chiropractic and looking at how the body breaks down. Is it physical, chemical, or emotional? And then about 25 years ago, I developed an emotional breathing release technique to tie in the emotional component. And the body will tell you, when you examine it, is the primary stressor that the brain is focused on, is it structure, is it chemical, or is it emotional? And we're a blend, because all three are connected.
Uh-huh.
Because all your internal organs are connected to muscle groups. So you could be eating wrong or stressing out a particular organ system, and the muscle group that's neurologically connected will contract, distort your body, and now you have a subluxation, which most chiropractors address. And if that subluxation is chronic, then you have, microadhesions that form, and then you need to get in pretty often to break those up and to get the body going in the right direction. But it's always about the cause. What's the cause?
Uh-huh. How long would it take you to, I guess, hone in on exactly what is, you know, afflicting somebody.
Oh, I could do it within a matter of minutes.
So you could, you know, do whatever you, whatever it is you do. Like, what would you like ask the, you know, like I, so yeah. Just for background, I've seen you twice in the last, whatever it is, month. No, like a couple weeks.
I've only been here a couple weeks.
And, you know, so just as background for you, Dr. Ryan.
Right.
Was the first chiropractor I've ever seen.
Oh, okay.
I was always skeptical, you know, whatever sure. it was. You know, especially
right, show me.
especially growing up in you know, New Jersey and stuff like that. Everybody's like, you know, please give me a break. But I was, my back was in such a state where I was ready, you know, to try, you know, to give it a whirl. And you know, I didn't want to take drugs. Like I just knew that that was not, you know, the route for me, and I definitely wasn't going to go to, you know, a surgeon because of, you know, stories I've heard of, like, you know, I got a surgery, it didn't do anything, blah blah blah, like whatever it is. So I was like, let's go down this path. He was suggested to me by a friend of mine who was like, you know, please go see this person, right. somebody, you know, somebody I trusted. So just having said that, where was I going with this? I don't know what I was saying now. Anyway, me being skeptical, it wasn't the first, you know, thing in my mind to help myself out. But I've seen you twice now, and you are different from Dr. Ryan, Dr. Larry Lawrence, Dr. Lawrence. You hone in on different, you know, problems. You want to know more about, like, you know. How do you compare to other, you know?
I can speak on that. Basically, my philosophy is we are a spiritual being having a human experience. Mm-hmm. And how does that trickle down? Who are we really? We're this consciousness that functions within this body and this reference point. So it's how we think and how we feel determines the way we live our life. You know, the food we eat, you know, the exercise we decide to get or not get. Everything is posturing around our belief system. So we come in and we inherit our genetics. So we have the what they used to call the sins of the father. We carry that. Mm-hmm. And then we have what we've learned in this life as this is good, this is wrong, this is right, this is bad. It's that belief system that accumulates. So now we go through life saying, what is true? What is right? What is good? What is bad, so to speak? And we're having to reevaluate everything in life to say, what is it that gives us the greatest joy, the greatest peace? And if we're living that, then we're doing what we love. Because when we're doing what we love, we feel that way.
Yeah.
And so my perspective, different from most, is you're a spiritual being having human experience. How well is your human experience a reflection of the peace of who you truly are, which is a reflection of love, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were created from love. So I take love as the foundation and saying, okay, where are you not loving yourself first? Where are you not taking care of your relationship with life? And once you do, then you become a joy to others, especially a joy to yourself.
So I feel like you have a lot of just in hearing you, you know, speak about your philosophies on, I guess, life, because it's broader than just, you know, chiropractic or, you know, nutrition or stuff like that. I feel like you have a, you know, your own specific philosophy on how to find happiness or, you know, but I feel like there's a lot of. It sounds like, I don't know, like Buddhist or, you know, Asian philosophies or of, I guess, the essence of, you know, who we are as humans. But I'm imagining you being, you know, baseline, an Italian guy from New Jersey.
Right.
You were, I'm assuming, raised in like the Catholic Church.
I was.
You know, like same way. But I find it interesting that you're saying, as you progress through your life, I feel like you're letting go of, you know, those philosophies and finding, you know, your own or a combination of, you know, X, Y, and Z to create, you know, your own path. How much do you think religion plays a part in, you know, people's happiness or how they're, you know, controlled by, you know, I always view it as like a guilt system to keep you in line of like, right. That's how I, you know, growing up, I felt like everything was based on guilt and shame and right and wrong and, you know, mm-hmm. stay in line and you better not do this because, and right. whether, you know, it makes you happy or not, you're like, do the right thing because these people before you said it was the right thing. And
right.
even though you're not living in the time that they, you know, wrote these imaginary rules down, which, you know, who believes in what? I'm not a particular religious person, but I was raised, right. you know, I went through the whole rigmarole of mm-hmm. like, you know, Catholicism, but left it. I left it in New Jersey, you know, more or less. But like, where do you place, I guess, religion in the psyche of your, you know, mental state, like how it like weighs you down or like lifts you up? Because I feel like people are both, if they follow it, you know, in a certain way, they're, you know, joyous to, mm-hmm. I don't know, like give themselves up to God. Right, but in the different respect, I feel like there's so much, I don't know, guilt and anger and, you know, I feel like there's a lot of hatred in religion. Mm-hmm.
There is. There's a lot of judgment.
You hit on that word.
Religion is, you know, there's a lot of judgment there. So it's kind of it's a moral filter. Mm-hmm. So it keeps people from killing each other. Mm-hmm. But really, it's a program that we buy into. And I'm not, you know, I mean, I was raised Catholic and I was an altar boy up until high school, for God's sakes, no pun intended, or a pun intended, yeah. I should say. You know, I started questioning the Catholic Church when I would see what the priests would do behind closed yeah. doors, you know, and I was like, wait a minute, I got to confess my sins to this.
Yeah.
yeah. Know? And you start to question all that. But at the same time, I was introduced to metaphysics and a lot of different philosophies at 13 years old. My chiropractor was very brilliant. He graduated high school, 13 years old, valedictorian in his class, had a photographic memory. And I remember picking up a book called Psycho-Cybernetics by Maxwell Maltz. And it was a plastic surgeon that got his patients to change their image and actually save them from having plastic surgery to try and alter their image.
Huh.
And so I showed him that book at 13. He said, when you get done with that, I'll give you another book to read. So I was introduced to a lot of different philosophies through my life and was fortunate to have some great mentors that really taught me. It's all about, you know, who are you? Asking yourself the question, who are you? And really what it comes down to, where this functioning awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, where does this functioning awareness come from? Well, there's a God factor there.
Mm-hmm.
There's something that created all of it. You know, some people in the metaphysical realm get tweaked about the word God. They call it, you know, whatever name you want to give it. It's still the presence of creation itself. And so when we live in the moment and we're just being aware, mm-hmm. we let go of the me sense, which says my awareness. The minute we say my awareness, we drop into ego, which then is filtered by our religious beliefs, all of those things that we've accumulated mm-hmm. along the way. But when we come back to the middle, we're as pure as that child that came in. Because that child comes in as a pure state, and then it's told this is good, this is bad, and it deals with the whole programming of the family and all the religion that goes along with that family. And at some point, you have to say to yourself, who am I?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I try to live in the moment and saying, okay, am I living in a peaceful state at this moment? And if I am, what can I give back to the world? I remember when I graduated high school, I was a class president and I had to give a speech. And Dr. Barone, who was my mentor, helped me with my speech.
Guessing another Italian guy from New Jersey.
Another Italian guy from New Jersey. And I remember one line from that speech. He says, the purpose of knowledge is the service of man. And so the more we understand, the more we live, the more we practice what we preach, the more we just pay it forward and helping someone else. And that's been my whole life. It's just, you know, finding another avenue of helping someone find joy in their own life, whether it be removing the physical pain that's become a structurally accumulated, mm-hmm. changing their diet that accumulates to that, changing their thought patterns or emotional state. It's all a part of it. And even you talked about chiropractors being different. You know, everyone has their little tool. And Ryan, that used to practice, had a beautiful, because I've heard wonderful things about mm-hmm. the patients that have come in, had a beautiful way of helping people to unravel the contraction that's accumulated from the way we think, the way we feel, the way we eat, the way we move our bodies. So everyone has a gift to give. And it's just, for me, I like looking at the big picture and saying, okay, what are the connecting points? What does this person that I see in front of me need the most right now? And the body will tell you, there are stress points on the body. They'll tell me if that primary stressor at that moment mm-hmm. is physical, chemical, or emotional. It is layers. We're like a layer of onions. So you have to unravel that layer when it shows up.
I just want to touch back to, I guess, the idea of the ego.
Right.
Right. So sure. I feel like in recent years, you know, I don't know how to eloquently say this, but like what I would call armchair psychologists mm-hmm. or, you know, people on the internet that are always, you know, self-help trying to like, you know, motivate people, or it always seems like they're selling something, but you know, they're always like, kill your ego. Like you hear this term a lot. Like if you, you know, kill your ego, you'll be, you know, in a more peaceful place, or, mm-hmm. you know, you'll be happier once you let it, you know, go. But there's a part of me that feels like your ego is like, it's what keeps you safe from the world, or it keeps you, you know, from, it's like your barrier from letting, you know, intruders in, or whatever you want to call that, from, you know, it's like the campfire at night keeps the coyotes away, whatever that, you know, saying is.
I agree with you.
But I feel like people are continually trying to get you to tone down your ego, you know, let it go, like kind of stuff. And I feel like that's, here we go again with being a Libra. I feel like it's a balance of, you know, how much, you know, you should have of your own, because I feel like an ego is how you view yourself and put it out to the world. I don't know if that's like, you know, accurate, you know, 100%, but, you know, if you have too much of an ego, you're, you know, fall off the cliff. And if you don't have enough, you don't have you know,
right.
Enough. So what's the, you know, what's the proper amount to carry, you know, your ego in the world? You don't understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I do. And I can address that. It's not about getting rid of the ego. It's about understanding.
Why do they always say kill? Like, I feel like
because that's the only thing they know, is that it's the ego that's maybe got him into trouble. And it's like, God, if I just get rid of this ego, I'll be cool. I'll be all right. Mm-hmm. You know, and that philosophy doesn't work, because the minute you battle with anything, it's going to keep rearing its head. But if you understand the purpose of the ego, how it serves you, and then your understanding allows you to let it go. So remember I said that, you know, it's like the minute we say that this awareness is my awareness, we drop into ego. Whether the ego is small or big or whatever it mm-hmm. is, it's still that attachment to this awareness. I own this awareness. But we don't own this awareness, but we are awareness. We are consciousness itself. And when that's what meditation is all about, just take us to that neutral zone where we're just an observer. Because when you're in that observer state, in fact, there's a lot of research done with HeartMath out in California. Are you familiar with HeartMath? They've done a lot of research with breathing and heart function and that sort of thing. And what they're saying is that if you slow your breath down and you feel gratitude, you actually maximize the pathways from the heart to the brain. And there's more neurological pathways from the heart to the brain than the brain to the heart. So we should be heart-led and intellect-weary. The intellect is a tool to be used by the heart, but the ego puts it in reverse. Ego says, no, the heart's a tool used by the intellect.
Yeah.
And then the intellect takes over, and where does that get you? So it's just like, so understanding that dynamic, and you only understand it for yourself and your relationship to life. You can't look at it, someone else say, oh, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong. You don't know what it's going to take for that person to wake up, to take the next step in living a life of joy, that, you know, something that they love doing. You don't know what that is for someone. It could be the sledgehammer that they need, or it could be that aha moment that they get when they slow their breath. And when you slow your breath down, you move into different states of consciousness. You know, we have that that beta state of consciousness. Then we have the alpha and the theta. We go a little deeper and we go into delta. But then there's that gamma, which is the zone. That's when you're right. Those athletes that are in the zone, uh-huh. they're in gamma. There's a guy that did research, speaking of the stress of diet. He was a medical doctor, got his patients to deal with their food cravings by getting them to meditate. And he mapped out the brain, what the brain looked like in a meditative state. All frequencies are coherent throughout all parts of the brain. When you have a beta day and you're stressed out, you know, you may have high arousal but low relaxation. The meditative state is high arousal and high relaxation, and the frequencies are the same. And he mapped out what a greasy brain looks like, what it looks like when you're on caffeine, when you're on nicotine, he mapped it all out. But he couldn't get his patients to stay in a meditative state for very long because the chemistry would drive them. So all of a sudden, I got to have that Snickers or whatever it was. So it's like we're a combination of, you know, what is that trigger that tips us over the edge? Is it too much of eating the wrong thing? Is it the wrong posture so you compromise the nerve flow? Is it the way we're thinking? Well, it's always the way we're thinking and the way we're feeling emotionally. So, but that peaceful state is when the brain is very balanced throughout all hemispheres. And that's the meditative state. And that's when we're just awareness itself. We're just consciousness. And then from that state, it's like a martial arts master that's, let's say, has his 10th degree in black belt. And let's say I'm that guy right now, and I'm sitting across from you, and maybe the FDA decides that it wants to take a poke at me because I said the wrong thing mm-hmm. about health. And I could be having this peaceful conversation with you, and he's shooting an arrow at me, and I can catch the arrow and still have the conversation. That's being in that gamma, perfect, aware state. Ideally, that's where we all want to be. We just don't know how to get there.
Yeah. I'm assuming you meditate.
Yes, I do.
I do
TM.
Daily?
Yeah.
What TM, transcendental?
Transcendental meditation.
Okay. What, can explain?
Transcendental meditation, you have to go get the training where they give you a mantra.
Uh-huh.
It's a sound. It has no meaning.
Uh-huh.
So when you get quiet and your thoughts are drifting, you focus on your sound. If you start to drift again, you focus on your sound. And it's a sound that they give you. It's unique to you. You never tell anybody about it. It's your thing. And it's a discipline to get you out of your monkey mind into just being aware.
Daily?
Yeah.
Mornings, nights?
Morning and night.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Multi times.
And I also get up in the morning and I journal, and I, you know, I just say, okay, what's going on today? So I get a lot of insights in the journaling.
Just from putting it down on paper.
Right. Yeah.
Just from.
And I encourage everyone to do that, because when you journal, you have an opportunity, and you never show your journal to anyone unless all of a sudden you've got an inspiration in mm-hmm. there's a book in there or something, and that happens. But it's your dialogue with your whatever your belief system, whatever you aspire to understand about life. You ask questions.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my discipline.
You were talking before about awareness.
Right.
And it makes me think of I'm sure you have, and we've all had this experience where you witness somebody, you're like somebody who's unaware, but in a happy-go-lucky, just like floating through world kind of place. And you're like, what the hell is wrong with this guy? He's just, you know, he's not paying attention to, you know, anything. And he's just floating around and blah, 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 like almost like aimless. And I also feel like this is a potentially, you know, New Jersey thing. You're like, this guy's a fucking idiot. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, what is going, like, I'm going nuts watching this guy right. just like bounce around and uh-huh. float, or guy or girl, whatever, like kid. Right. And you're just like, focus right. in, like, pay attention. Right. Like, what are you doing? But like, does a person like that, do they have like the trick to life? Are they like more, or is it just because, you know, everybody's built differently and, you know, that's fine. But like, I feel like it would drive me crazy. Like when, like, you know, having a kid, my, you know, a 7-year-old, they're not aware of, they're just living.
Right.
Right. And I'm like, pay attention. I'm like, you put your feet on the seats and now there's mud on the seat. And like, if you just paid attention, you wouldn't, but she's right. just like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know, going right. through my world. And it, you know, is an inconvenience to me because of, you know, she's not aware of right. whatever she's doing and it's, you know, putting more work, but that's like more like a household right. Thing. But like it will drive somebody else, you know, frustrate somebody right. like their lack of self-awareness or what, you know, the fact that they, you know, exist outside of their own mind or body, you know? But I'm, my kid seems happy as shit.
Yeah.
But she's, you know,
she's living in her own zone.
Messing stuff up, like, you know, left and right, and it's driving, you know, right. me crazy. So
well, look at it this way. She came into this world into your environment, mm-hmm. your roles, your regulations, your belief system, all of that. So she's got her own belief system that she has to learn to integrate with the world, whether it be living with her parents for till when she's off doing her own thing at some point. It's just like everyone has their own life to live in their own moment to live it. And they have to, and their job is to find their own peace about it. Rather, regardless if it pisses somebody else off, you know, but it's like, of course, we have to honor our parents. And that's what we're taught, that moral mm-hmm. conduct. And I've been taught respect, especially growing up in an Italian family. You respect mm-hmm. the elders, you know, so there's a lot of that. So, you know, I couldn't wait to go off on my own. I couldn't wait to go live my own life. And at some point, everyone does. There's that breakaway. But who are we to judge anybody else, even our own kids? I remember years ago when I divorced my ex, my kids were little, and my ex met someone else, and they were going to get married and whatever, and he was trying to take over the role of being dad to my kids, and it was pissing me off. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, and they were treating him more like a father than me. And I was like, wow, just because they're my kids, I can't expect them to love me a certain way. Mm. And so I'll tell you, Tom, when I let go of that attachment, the how love should come back to you, the belief of how it should, when I let it go, I swear to God, it was like a light went on and all of a sudden I was their dad again. But I had to face that. I had to face giving up two beautiful kids that I absolutely adored and then not loving me. So it's like we have to let go of the attachment to the outcome. We have to live the life in the moment and with gratitude and love. First love ourselves, and then the more we do that, and it sounds egotistical, but it's really not. Because we love ourselves, the mirror outside is going to be reflected. It happens. Or we'll live the contrast. We'll live what's not love to make us appreciate what love is.
And, good Lord, you probably do a lot of thinking during the day. let's dip into a little bit of I guess nutrition and sure. or you know just broader like the things that we put in our body because right. I think a lot. I don't know about too much, but I think often about how as time goes on, especially it seems to be in America, mm-hmm. We are inundated with worse and worse things on a daily basis that we, you know, ingest or, you know, get hooked on or whatever. And there seems to be no end in sight. Like I think about my grandparents a lot. They, you know, born, raised, grew up in Bayonne, New Jersey, right? Mm-hmm. Which is basically, you know, a city.
Right.
But they always had a vegetable garden in the back mm-hmm. every summer. It was just,
oh yeah,
it was like standard. Like the whole neighborhood uh-huh. seemed to have, you know, it was just concrete, and then there was a section for, you know, all uh-huh. whatever vegetables they were growing. And I'm like, these people grew up in a time where the word organic didn't exist because it was right. all organic.
Right.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And now, you know, you go to a supermarket and you're paying twice as much for something that they were getting at the baseline,
yeah.
you know, or even, you know, in the supermarket. I mean, I can't imagine stuff in the 50s was as pumped full of, you know, pesticides or whatever it took to, you know, grow, you know, that kind of stuff. And I'm like, I feel like they,
lived a better existence because of it, like whatever's in the body. And so I think about like, what really is organic and how they've changed the goalpost, if you will, of mm-hmm. like, okay, this means organic. And then they're like, no, let's make this mean organic. And this is, I don't even, you know what I mean? Like, it's like not, no pesticides, but these pesticides. And that means it's, and it's just infuriating to, yes. for me, that as time goes on, it almost seems worse and worse. Mm-hmm. I also think about like the Jetsons, like as you know, you watch cartoons as a kid and you're like, right. oh, the future is going to be, you know, robots are going to, you know, do our jobs for us. We're going to sit back and relax, have time to, you know, live life and enjoy things. And, you know, yeah, take a pill for food and right. like, boom, you're good and everything's fine. But it just seems more and more work, less and less money. But like less overall happiness. Mm-hmm. I feel like my grandparents were, you know, relatively poor compared to, you know, what, you know, the average seems today,
sure.
but a million times happier.
Oh yeah.
And I don't understand the world we're going in or the direction of the world we're going in for, you know, being happy compared to they had so little and, you know, we seemingly have so much mm-hmm. and they seemed 10 times happier. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm talking about people that never touched a computer, right. you know, didn't have a cell phone till they were in their, I don't know, 80s and, you know, needed one so like their kids can contact them in case, you know, somebody okay. slipped and fell in the shower kind of stuff. Like, sure. But as happy as, you know, pigs and shit,
uh-huh.
Just from existing and, you know, doing whatever, going, you know, dancing on the weekends and whatever the hell it was. But, you know, they did their hard work. They raised their kids. They're, you know, had their house, whatever. But I feel like their happiness level was so much greater than where we're at today. And like more seems less. It really does. Like the more we have, it seems like we're just, I know this is like cliche, but we're weighed down by it for mm-hmm. just living day to day. And I just don't know how to like reconcile that for the future. Cause it just seems to be getting worse and worse, sadder and sadder, more manipulated as time goes on. And it's like, how do you, you know, deal with that? Like in just day to day, it absolutely drives me insane. And I find myself fixating on, you know, these ideas of like, you know, you glamorize everything in the past. I understand that's like a, you know, a part of it, but, you know, nostalgia and right. like all that, but sure. like, you know, you remember the good stuff and you, you know, forget the bad or whatever, but like looking towards the future, how do you like you as, you know, Dr.
Right.
Lou,
right.
how do you, you know, be like, we have to have optimism or something for tomorrow instead of being like, well, we're in a pile of shit right now. Like, you know, the economy's bad, you know, one bad president after another, or like whatever, everybody seems to be manipulating each other in one way or shape or form. What do you do? Like, is it truly like meditation, diet that keeps you like level headed and happy? Cause
I'm pretty chill, but you know, it's taken years of living in that and realizing what really does have value. I mean, I left Wisconsin, had two houses up there. I had an Airbnb and it was all connected, beautiful house, beautiful furniture, all that stuff. And sold those and it was, took a leap of faith to say, hey, and it gave a lot of stuff away. Mm-hmm. And now I live in a 500 square foot, you know, apartment. And it took the best of things that had memories that connected to them that, you know, were nice. And so I lived in that now and you wonder, it's like, is there security in owning two houses, or four houses or whatever? I mean, I've had four practices. You know, I've lived in beautiful places, Santa Barbara. I lived on my boat. I had a beautiful boat. You know, it's like, you look at all that. It's like, you know, so what? Mm-hmm. I think we've been indoctrinated to believe that more stuff is going to bring us more happiness. And then we've been manipulated into being a consumer. It's like, well, if I had this car or this house, you know, I'm going to be happy, blah, blah, blah. No, it's like, what is, we live in each and every moment. And is that moment, do we have the peace and the joy that says, wow, I'm grateful? Because when we're in, like I was saying before with heart math research, when we're in a state of relaxed breathing and gratitude, it maximizes the efficiency of the body's control system, which is called homeostasis. So the more we live in that place, the more we maximize the efficiency of our organs. Now, if we eat right and think right and stay in the moment of just being aware, then we mitigate a lot of those stressors that used to pull us this way or that way. It's like, oh, he's got the new Cadillac. I wanted the Cadillac. You know, it's like all that stuff that we grew up with in New Jersey, you know.
Yeah.
And eventually you say, you know, what the hell? And then someone that has all this stuff passes away. And it was like,
yeah, what was that for?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think humanity is reaching critical mass with all of that stuff, all of the manipulation, all of the false value systems. And I think we're all, the government is failing, you know, society is failing in a controlling way. But really, what does that bring us? Who are we as an individual? So we're at a point now where we have to trust, what is our gut telling us?
Mm-hmm.
What is right for me? It's like, and then you look at your family. What do I have to do to have my daughter grow up in a safe environment? What do I need to pay attention to around that? So it comes down to, you need to take care of yourself and saying, okay, who am I? What do I want? And am I doing something every day that brings me joy, that brings me peace? And how do I attain that? Well, go back to the moment. Your brain goes off distraction. You reel it back. You breathe. You relax. Maybe you make a better choice with what you eat so it feeds that brain, so the frequencies are a little more in the meditative state. And you just, it's a discipline. And as long as we're on the planet, there's something for us to learn.
Yeah.
I don't know it all.
Yeah, yeah.
You, the minute you think you know it all, you're in big trouble.
Yeah, I agree with that. I feel like that feeds back into, you know, your own ego stuff. Like, oh, I know it all. Like, that's in my brain. All right, so food.
Right.
What do you put in your body? What is the Dr. Lou daily diet? You know, what have you learned over the years
What I learned over the years is that, you know, you need protein, you need fat, and you need complex carbohydrates.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, but the question is, of course, I've been in the field of enzymes since 1986, when enzymes wasn't even a common understanding mm-hmm. of what the hell it was. But ideally, it's just like, it's not just what we eat, it's what we digest and absorb. So back to what you were saying before, they're putting all the stuff in our foods down. You got all these toxins and whatever. And now you have to pay triple for organic. And then they manipulate the organic uh-huh. label. And then you still got stuff in there that's crap. And you're just like, what do I do? It's just like you have to, you know, look at, is it a whole food? Especially when you go to the grocery store, look at the label, especially packaged foods. Now what you're starting to see, it has genetically modified ingredients. Have you seen that yet? Take a look next time.
I've seen non-GMO. I've never seen.
But now, if you, especially go to like the gas station, pick up a bag of chips, look on the back mm-hmm. and you'll see has genetically modified ingredients. You're seeing that more and more now.
Hmm.
Why? I don't know why they're doing that. It's just like, it's crazy, and you can lose yourself, and you could go on a bandwagon and start a campaign and a parade around and whatever. Well, what does that serve you? You know, if you're going against a government mandate that says this way it is now, you got to comply. You know, what do? You have to say, okay, what choices am I allowed to have in this life that I currently live? And maybe you have to let go of having this big house so you could eat healthier foods because your budget then allows you mm-hmm. to do that, or whatever choice you need to make for yourself. It's back to an individual choice. So back to food, you need protein basically to run all the homeostatic mechanisms in the body as an absolute must. I mean, you need fat for the skin and the nervous system and hormones, and also protein for hormones and neurotransmitters. And you need, carbohydrates is just for energy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, so we need energy, but 57% of our proteins converted to glucose. So if you eat more protein and stay away from the refined carbs, that helps you there, because if you eat too much carbs, you're going to convert it to fat. It's going to store it as fat. So you try to look at, say, okay, what works for your body? So you have a certain genetic mechanism that maybe you work good on the Mediterranean diet, or maybe you work better on the paleo diet, or whatever.
I literally have that in my notes. I'm like, I want to ask you about Mediterranean. Well, certain regional diets seem to have something to do with longevity. I feel like I've read Mediterranean and like certain, you know, like Japan has like their specific X amount of people over 100. You know, you always get that number, you know, that nice round number. They're like, these people have more, and like what they do to get to that stage. They're like, you know, they're active, they're eating X, Y, and Z in, you know, accurate proportions and not, you know, overdoing it with, I don't know what's happening in Japan, but it seems like it's always Mediterranean and, you know, fish and rice, sort of, you know, fish, rice, vegetables, which I guess would be, you know, partially Mediterranean too. But what is it about certain, you know, that Mediterranean diet say? Like, let's go there.
It's more of what does the body need to maintain a healthy function?
Uh-huh.
How much are you digesting and absorbing of what you need? And how much are you eating that's over and above what your body needs? There was a study done, and I believe it's probably maybe over 40 years ago now. I think it was in the New York Times. They said if you undereat, that can add 20 years to your life.
If you undereat?
Undereat. Eat less than you normally would.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you overconsume. And now you have stuff that sits in your gut that maybe some of it gets digested and absorbed, but then you get stuff that rots in there, creates an irritation on the lining. Mm-hmm. Now you have inflammation. So now when inflation happens, the pores or the gaps are bigger. Bigger molecules get across. Those bigger molecules then create inflammation somewhere in the body. There was a guy that we used to say, how do those big molecules act? They act like a 500-pound gorilla. Where does a 500-pound gorilla sit? Anywhere it wants to. So wherever those big molecules that have gotten across leaky gut create an inflammatory process, that's where your body swells, that's where the circulation goes, that's where the pain fibers now are activated, and now you've accumulated a lot of stuff that's created an irritant to the body, and you wonder why you're in pain when you didn't even lift anything. All of a sudden your back hurts. Maybe your low back hurts because you've overstressed your kidney. The kidney's trying to filter the blood, but you're overate. And maybe there's too much protein that can block the glomerulus, which filters what goes through the kidney. And now you ignore that for too long. Now you got a kidney disease. Now you're on dialysis. So it's accumulative. It's just like, yes, we need food, but how much do we need, and how much do you need, you particularly? Mm-hmm. That's why when I evaluate someone, I'm looking at, okay, what does your body need? Maybe you don't need paleo diet or Mediterranean diet. And then there's that, you know, diet for your blood type, you like type O.
Do you believe that?
There is some truth to that.
Because that was in my notes too. Blood type diet.
Yeah, type O, type A are pretty accurate. The other one's not.
So I am O negative.
Oh, okay. So you should be a meat eater, basically. Okay.
Which is not, I always feel guilty. I mean, I try not to, I don't know. Yeah. I was a vegetarian for years in, you know, high school, college, you know, that era of my life. But I feel like, and I don't know what's propaganda and what's not, of like, red meat's going to kill you. You got to eat chicken. You got to eat, you know, this or that, or, you know, and I feel like it got to a point. I also had a hippie cousin that I was like, he's a vegetarian. He seems onto something, you know what I mean? Where, you know, whatever, pushed me over the cliff of trying to be vegetarian. Right. Which I don't know if I would say a teenage vegetarian is the best idea, but you know, cause you're, you know, knowledge base and just impulses of being basically a child. But I, you know, you're like, oh, you should be a meat eater, but I feel like there's a guilt and a stigma associated with that, like in the last, you know, 30 years.
Especially red being Catholic, you eat it on Friday,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Of course,
everything's guilt at some point.
Yeah, unless it's fish. I don't know. I was like that joke, oh, the Pope has stock in Long John Silver's. That's why he said you could eat fish Fridays. So you're saying a certain blood type, which I feel like has origins, the blood type diet has origins in Asian culture. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like they subscribe to that sort of philosophy more than, you know, the Americas. But what is it about type O blood that you're saying I would benefit from?
It's the antigens in there. It's been a while since I've studied mm-hmm. it, but your body is less reactive to the antigen, antibody-antigen balance that happens with certain blood types. So you could have a reaction if a certain antigen in that particular food is not conducive to your body's survival mechanism. It'll trigger a defense mechanism. Just like if someone looks at you the wrong way, like you're in New Jersey.
Fight or flight.
It's like your upbringing in New Jersey allows you to have a certain demeanor of survival.
Yeah.
And it's like somebody looks at you the wrong way or whatever, you feel the vibe. You know, growing up from where we grew up is a great place to be from. I mean, it mm-hmm. teaches that street smart, as you well yeah. know. And I know. Teaches you how to spot bullshit from across yeah. the room.
I worry about that with my daughter.
Yeah, I bet.
Like, being down here, I'm like, is somebody going to, like, you know, hornswoggle her into, like, you know, doing something she doesn't even realize she's doing? And I'm like, you know, as a kid, I was taught, you know, if somebody gets over on you, that's your fault for not seeing it coming. That was basically how, you know, I remember being raised, like, be on the lookout for, you know, don't be a sucker. Like, don't be, you know, there's somebody trying to scam you. Like, uh-huh. and around every corner. And if you let that scam into your world, it's your fault.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally how I remember, like, you know, it's on you for doing that. And my kid is, you know, we're in Key West, and that's not how, but I also feel like I always had some sort of, you know, worried knot in my stomach just going out into the world. I mean, especially because I grew up in the 80s, and it was a huge time for, it was two things. Like, they pushed hard in the 80s. It was say no to drugs, you know, Nancy Reagan. Meanwhile, her husband's telling the CIA to go, you know, smuggle drugs and crack epidemic and all that shit. I'm like, okay, that's ironic now looking back on it. And the other thing was, like, stranger danger. Somebody's going to, like, snatch you from a van. Don't take candy from strangers. Like, and, you know, my mother being a, you know, paranoid Italian woman trying to always keep things, you know, safe or whatever. I'm like, I felt like always worried some crazy shit's nothing ever fucking happened.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm not a drug addict. I never got, like, abducted. But, like, these were always, like, uh-huh. forefront on my mind kind of stuff. And I'm like, I don't know if it was good to be that continually aware of those things. Like, I don't know how many videos I watched, that, you know, as a kid in school, of, like, somebody offering, you know, you drugs. And I'm like, not a human being has ever offered me, like, heroin on a street corner. It's never fucking happened. I never got the tattoo that was laced with LSD. I'm like, people don't give away drugs. Right. Like, it's just not a thing that I'm you know, in my mid-40s. That has never happened. But, like, that was, like, the pushing, worrying, like, you know, especially Halloween's coming. Like, nefarious things are going to happen in the camp. I mean, granted, I do remember that. The crazy guy who put, I think it was, like, cyanide in the Tylenol packets you know what I mean?
That.
But these are, like, few and far between. Right. Like you're going to revolve your whole life over one crazy person in, you know, Colorado or something. And I'm like, okay.
Right.
I feel, you know, it's looking through, you know, the eyes of my kid. I'm like, I don't want her to carry around that, like, stress burden of, like,
sure.
that stuff. I don't think it did me well. No. I don't think it helped. You know, I feel like it gave me some sort of baseline anxiety. But in the same respect, like you said, you know, street smart, you know, you're on the lookout for not getting, you know, beaten over the head or mugged or whatever it is. And there's a certain, you know, safety and intelligence to that. Mm-hmm. So I don't, back to Libra
I'm a Libra too, Tom. So I totally get the Libra thing. You know, but it's back to how aware are we in the moment, in the environment that we live in.
Yeah. But living in fear can't be healthy.
No, it's not.
Like, I remember, so when the pandemic came about and it was that like pre-period of like, you know, the unknown before everybody lost their jobs and like couldn't pay rent, blah, blah, blah. I remember going to Dr. Ryan and being like, all right, like, because we'd always, you know, have conversations like this, like, you know, life, you know, conversations more than just like, you know, how's your back kind of stuff.
Right.
And you know, I truly enjoy, and I wish he was still around. I don't know what he's doing, but, the conversations having, and he's like, I'm like, what do you think's going to happen? He's like, I don't know what's going to happen, but my hope is we don't become driven by fear. And sure as shit, that's exactly what fucking happens.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, living that way, afraid of what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm like, there is no way that's healthy for your mind, body, and soul. There's no way. And then there's a part of me that thinks that it was all orchestrated because fear is, you know, the grand manipulator, the grand controlling, you know, factor of like, all right, here's this very, very dangerous thing. Everybody do this and you'll be fine. And now it seems like we have like an easier for the next time to be manipulated again, to be like everybody's, I sound like a crazy conspiracy theorist, but I'm like, everybody's like, you know, mask mandate, stay like, you know, 6 feet apart, get away from each other, blah, 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 all this stuff. I'm like, how much of this is really for our health and how much of it is a test to see what mm-hmm. they could get away with and what they could do the next time mm-hmm. for.
I like the way you think.
Oh God, and I go in circles too. It drives me crazy. But like I see it coming a mile away and I start telling people, they're like, you're crazy. Yeah. Like, just take the vaccine. And I'm like, this vaccine got rolled out real quick. I'm like, everything I know about like clinical trials and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden Trump's like, boom, we have a vaccine. I saved everybody. And I'm like, I you know, you step in shit, it stinks. Like, it just smelt bad to me. And people were like, just do it. And I'm like, no, I'm like, and I'm talking about, you're talking about somebody who, you know, I smoke a pack of cigarettes a day. It's not like I'm like ultimately afraid of putting things in my body, but the suspicion, mm-hmm. like your gut, like my gut was telling me, don't there's something it. Up, man. Right. Like there's something more than, and the fact, honestly, I hate to go on a rant because I've talked about this on the podcast a lot. Fact that healthcare in this country, it doesn't seem like they really give a shit. It's a money making scheme, right? And I don't have, you know, my wife has healthcare, my daughter has, I don't have healthcare because I'm more of like a, you know, I don't work for a corporation. Mm-hmm. And when I did work for a corporation, I had healthcare and then they pulled it because COVID, go figure. Because they furloughed me and then they were like, no, we're going to take your healthcare as well. And I'm like, you're taking my healthcare now that you're putting me on temporary furlough? Anyway. But my mind was saying that it's very suspicious that there is this world where you're paying out the ass for healthcare, mm-hmm. which, I mean, in this day and age, going back to like, you know, the Jetsons, everything's good because we're so in such an advanced school. That should be like a baseline thing. It shouldn't be something you only get healthcare if you're working for this mega corporation and they're paying for it. It's like daddy will take care of you mm-hmm. kind of thing. And they just make money, hand over fist. And I'm like, there's something ultimately suspicious about a country whose healthcare system doesn't care really about you unless you have enough money to pay them to care about you. And then you want to give me this quote unquote free vaccine that we're paying for already. Whether it's just the whole thing stunk to high hell with me. Mm-hmm. And it just made me so suspicious where I'm like, I don't want to buy into this.
Yeah, good for you.
And
I didn't buy into it either.
People were like, I mean, especially New Jersey, my mother, father, you know, they're divorced and stuff, but everybody's like, I guess do what, you know, you feel like you should do, but I don't know. I'm like, I don't know either. And that's why I'm not doing it. Like, that's why I'm, you know, taking a stand. I'm not like out there with a, you know,
it's your body, your choice,
but I'm just like, I just, everything that I mm-hmm. see coming down the pipe, I'm like, it does not add up to me mm-hmm. where all of a sudden the government has my health in their best interest. Yeah. It just doesn't make sense. It's like a 1+1 thing that just didn't add up.
Nope.
And you know, people still to this day, like make fun of me for it. And I'm like, do what you got to do. Like, say what you got to say. Thank you. I appreciate that. I feel like I feel like the only people that feel that way are, I hate using this word, but a free thinker, like somebody who thinks outside of what's being, you know, given to them on a platter. Like, but I also feel like a weird, suspicious person being like, why couldn't I just be happy and go along with whatever the hell else is, you know, everybody else is doing.
Anyway. But are they really happy though?
I don't know. No.
That's why you gotta find your own happiness and your own scale of what that happiness means to you.
Do you think the food we ingest in this stage, like, makes, like, compromises our immune system?
Oh yeah.
Because I mean, one of the, you know, you're scrolling on whatever social media, and I came across this. I think he was Jamaican guy. You know how they have their own, you know, philosophies of like. But he was saying how, like, you know, who doesn't catch the cold? The lion doesn't catch the cold, because the lion's out there hunting and eating, and, you know, his diet and exercise and life is very specific to what, you know, whatever you want to call it, God has given him to ingest, like, you know, for lack of a simplistic term. And that's the kind of shit that sticks with me. I'm like, it's out there, but we are ignoring it for easier, more. It always comes back to commerce with me, though.
It is.
Like, and I'm like, are we just like numbers on a board for somebody that are being like sacrificed for the few to make the more billions? And that's what, it saddens me. It makes me sad for life in the world.
It makes it sad for the kids.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, we still have a life to live here, but the kids have a major future life beyond us. And you think, wow, what, you know, I have grandkids now. Mm-hmm. So my kids are, of course, more grown. But, you know, I have two grandkids and two more on the way. And you wonder what the life's going to be for them. Mm-hmm. You hope that there's enough breakthrough in the new lives that are coming into this world to say, enough, it is crap. And, you know, they've ruined our earth. We want to change it now. I'm hoping that's what happens.
They're out there, but I feel like they're being, like, partially silenced. Yeah. I mean, I feel like there is a generation out there that's being like, what the fuck did you people do?
Right.
Like, what are you, like, what did you do? You, like, it's like selling your soul to the devil. It's like you sold it off just to make that extra, you know, buck or two, and you can't take it with you.
Right.
But, like, I feel like there's, like, a generational, you know, every generation thinks every other generation is, you know, off the rocker. I feel like that's just, like, how it is. Like, you know, I'm sure your parents were like, you hippie, what are you talking about? Like, get out there and work hard. You know what I mean? Like, and you know, I look at, like, the boomer generation where I'm like, you know, I think to myself, I'm like, you guys started off as these, like, peace-loving, free-love hippies that turned into these, like, Wall Street yuppie kind of thing and just sold it, like, to the highest bidder, like, at what cost?
Yeah.
And I'm like, how did one, you know, generation get so, I mean, it's hard. I mean, it's hard for me to, like, wrap my head around how, you know, the cultural phenomenon of peace, love, and happiness turned into sell, like, you know, more. I'm like, what happened?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, you went from, like, you know, Jerry Garcia to, like, I don't know, like, Bill Gates. It's just, like, insane to me. But I don't know. I digress.
That's all right. That's okay. It's all part of life.
Do you think Americans work too much?
I think so, yeah.
Like, the balance of, like, work,
compared,
life.
Yeah, compared to what they do in Europe where they get 6 weeks off or whatever,
and
that sort of thing. I do. I do think we work too much. But it's like, that's why I always go back to, you have to do what you love.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you do what you love, it's not really work. It's just giving back in the way that you enjoy giving back.
I still, when I do what I love, I still get stressed out about it. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I you know, viewing life, I'm always like, I am happiest when I am creating something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I'm an artist, whatever you want to call it. Like, but, like, more so, I'm a creator of things. That's where I find joy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whether, like, just to take a blank slate of whatever it is, you know, it could be this podcast, a work of art, picture, whatever it is, and having a finalized, you know, product, not product, but, like, a piece to you know, present, show somebody in the hopes that they find joy out of what I found
out
joy
of your,
in.
Out of your creation.
Or, you know, and I feel like a lot of people never get to that point of like, what makes me happy? Like you can ask somebody, what makes you happy? And they're like, I don't know, my kids are going on vacation or sitting on the beach. And I'm like, that doesn't, I mean, my kid, yeah, of course my kid makes me happy because it's, you know, a reflection of yourself and all that stuff. But, it's like just sitting around doing nothing is not what makes me happy. Right. And I feel like that's like a pushback of how much life, you know, work has taken from somebody that they, that's more like a necessity to like, you know, put the energy back into the bank to take it back out, to give it back to work. Right. And I'm like, that's not living. No, it's to me, it's not living. The pursuit of hoarding wealth to make sure down the line that, you know, you're okay. Like it's kind of like insanity to me because.
Yeah. And then you spend 90% of your resources on, or 90% of the resources spent on 10% of the population in the latter part of their life.
Yeah.
So you work all your life and all of a sudden maybe you got $500,000 in the bank, but then you're in a hospital for 2 weeks at intensive care. It's all gone.
Yeah. It's insanity. And you didn't, you know, there's always that like old, nobody on their deathbed says they wish they worked more. You know what I mean? Like
that's true.
And I think about that a lot.
That is a good point. I've never heard that before, but that's very true.
I work. And I always feel like a, you know, conspiracy, like the man, you know, like that kind of, you get into that kind of stuff where you're like, the man's keeping me down. But I feel like the work happiness level in America is so skewed. Mm-hmm. Like I go back to my grandparents. I'm like, they were 9 to 5 people.
Yeah.
Dinner was on the table at 5:30.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like every day, like, you know, they're the, you know, husband, wife, 3 boys sitting around the table, 5:30, like hell or high water family dinner. Like,
and we didn't have cell phones. We, as long as we rode our bike and got home by dinner, we're good to go.
And that, I feel like that is just like gone by the wayside. Like, in lieu of working more, working harder, being, you know, beholden to your, you know, job. Like, I feel like that's like the most important thing. Like, we like wear it as a badge of honor, like, you know, like dying on the line or, you know what I mean? I literally worked themselves to death, you know? And it just seems insanity to me. And I don't know if we'll ever get to a place where it's not like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't see it, you know, coming.
Not for the general public, but like I was saying before, it's all an individual choice how we want to live our life, and we have to devalue what we see is just craziness out there and not put our attention on that and put your attention on what brings you joy and what brings you joy with the gifts that you give to your life, you know, your art, you know, your communication. I can tell you enjoy doing the podcast, you know, something because you get to question things. You get to question life and say, what is real? What's good? What's right? What's wrong? You know, so that's part of our journey here. I mean, as long as we're on this planet, there's something for us to learn and grow from. And if we can leave with, you know, better understanding of life itself. Because I think there's something in the Bible that says what's bound on earth is bound in heaven. What's freed on earth is freed in heaven. Uh-huh. I think we take the level of spirituality that we've come to discover why we're here. And then who knows where we go from here? I don't know.
What would you say is the worst thing we ingest into our bodies in our culture? Like if you were to stay away from one thing, is it like saturated fats? Is it sugar? Is it...
Probably,
you know,
a combination of, well, I would say, I remember Spam.
Yeah.
Spam is probably, canned meats is the worst.
Really?
There was a study done where they took, Kachikov, I believe, is the doctor, and there's a couple guys. But they took different food groups, and they looked at the white blood cell count after they ate it. And raw foods, there was no, an hour later, raw food, you know, of course, that's not tamper-worthy, probably the raw food now. The study was done a while back. Raw food had no increase in white blood cell count an hour later. But when you progress to canned food, like canned tuna or whatever, the white blood cell count escalated an hour later to the same level as if your body's fighting an infection.
Holy shit.
So remember what I was saying before, that when you eat food and you don't digest it, but creates an irritation on the lining and the pores are big enough to get the bigger molecules across, well, those bigger molecules go in. And now your immune system comes in to try and clean those up, because your white blood cells have enzymes in them. They're little sacs called lysosomes that actually will break those big molecules down. So the body will call on the troops, because now you have an extra barrage of these big molecules that don't belong. And so you eat canned processed foods and bam, your white blood cell count is going to go up an hour later.
Is it specifically canned or is it just processed?
Processed.
Stuff? Like any.
But canned is the worst.
Canned is the worst.
Yeah, canned is the worst.
Processed. What's in the pro?
The more you destroy the enzymes, the worse it becomes. And especially protein, because they're bigger molecules to break down. So that's why canned meats are the worst. Baby food, processed, terrible.
Really?
You know, because the enzymes are destroyed. You know, so the more we can go back to raw organic foods, but organic before the definition of alteration, the better we are. You know, but whole foods. Anything whole, when the minute they put in other ingredients, then you're dealing with other things that the body has to metabolize somehow.
Yeah, it is insane what they get to put in food that they just get away with.
I know.
It's like,
what's that all about?
I don't understand it. It goes back to my suspicion of, you know, the vaccine. I'm like, what? Like, right. you obviously don't care about what goes into my body, but all of a sudden you're like, we're doing this because we care. I'm like, there's this just very suspicious. Yeah. Like, yeah, you're going to let me put all basically poison. So you're saying processed food, your body treats it like it's being attacked.
Yeah.
And it needs to
get rid of.
Right,
because ideally we should be eating to feed the mechanism of the body that maintains healthy function. Now, if we're giving the body more than those nutrients or not giving those nutrients, then the body's going to break down. If the liver's not getting what it needs, the kidney not getting what it needs, the sympathetic nervous system not getting the fat to build new, neurology. I mean, all those are factors, and either you're feeding into your genetic strength or you're feeding into your genetic weakness.
Huh. God. I think, yeah, I think about that kind of stuff often. I saw this, video. They took a bottle of ketchup in America.
Uh-huh.
They took a bottle of ketchup in like England. There's 3 or 4 ingredients in the English version. There's like 16, 18 ingredients in the American one. And they're like, they put them next to each other. It was like literally like, water, tomatoes, vinegar, sugar.
Right.
Like that's what ketchup is basically, right. And it's like on the list of ketchup, it was just preservatives and all this stuff to keep it whatever. And I'm like,
why?
It's the same company.
Right.
It's just these people won't let you put these things in there because that's their regional regulations, and you still want to sell it to them, so you do what you have to do to sell it to them. But here, for whatever reason, America's allowing these things where other people say, this is bad for you, don't put this in your body. But here it's just like, go ahead, go for it, because money is more important than lives. Like, I feel like that's the American story.
But you wonder why. You think they got 16 ingredients here and 3 here. You would think it would be more cost effective over here than it is adding all these other ingredients. So what is that about?
Then you
consider conspiracy, because you're thinking, well, what the hell are they doing? They're trying to control our minds. They're trying to control, the mechanism of our body. They're trying to kill us all off. I mean, your brain could go anywhere.
I think about stuff like this constantly. I really do. It preoccupies a lot of it, and it makes me sad. It really does. It brings me down, and it also saddens me that there's not more people continually questioning it. But in the same respect, when I'm hungry, I squeeze a bottle of ketchup. You know what I mean? It's just I hate that. It's like, and then I feel like a sucker. I'm like, they got me. Let me ask you this, because you seem very knowledgeable about things inside and out of your body. I've had friends that have, quote unquote, decalcified their pineal glands, the gland in your the middle of your brain that gets calcified
your
over
eye.
Your third eye. Whether and they've been like, you need to do this, and you know it'll help you clarity, blah blah blah. And I'm like, I don't have the time or money to do such
how did
thing.
They do that? Did they
I mean, they have this whole like regimen over time with, I don't know, different herbs and what vitamins, and I mean they have this whole protocol, regimen of I you know, they gave me a list of stuff, but I have not gotten to the point where I have enough time, energy, or focus to do that. Is that a truthful thing? Is there were, you know, the things we consume create a layer in the brain that,
you know, I've never done a lot of research on that specifically to say, yes, that is true or not true. I think that there's probably some truth to that. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, just like we crystallize, you know, stuff in our joints.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I think that I've heard that before, that the pineal gland is crystallized, and therefore your eye is not single. You're not, you know, that pathway from your heart to your brain is not functioning correctly. That sort of thing. Yeah, I think that's all. Like I said, I haven't done enough research to understand the science behind it, but I think there's truth to it.
Yeah. Are you up for, you know, like when something like this came into my life, you know, a handful of years ago, I never heard of it before. Right. Or when something like that comes across your plate, are you apt to, you know, try something like that, or, you know, something new, some new, because you seem, you know, open and responsive to like new sciences.
I've done some interesting stuff.
What about like super, like putting your body through super heat or super cold to activate
I recently have done an ice bath. I don't know if you're probably familiar with Wim Hof.
I know it's a breathing technique, right? Wim Hof.
Right. Well, he does a lot of ice bath, and the first time I came to Key West a month ago, or more than a month now, I had the opportunity to do an ice plunge, and it was invigorating.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it puts you kind of like, whoa, I'm right here right now, very aware. So it increased that dopamine level. And you're just very
That's what
alert.
I keep hearing. Like you double your dopamine in 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And set you on the right path for the day. Like, I have friends that swear by it. I haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
I think I should do it too, but like I haven't, gotten there yet.
Cause Randall does it, you know, our physical therapist.
Oh, he does seem like, where was he last time? He wasn't around last week, Randall.
So he did a meditation thing. He'll have to tell you about it. But, he's the one that turned me on to it. I was hesitant at first, like, oh my God, I got to jump in an ice bath.
Yeah.
It was like free bike.
No, it seems,
you know, seemed crazy.
Well, crazy people do,
But I tell you, it did work.
Yeah.
Yeah. It put you in that zone for the rest of the day.
Yeah. I think I'd be interested in that because I feel like the physical into mental, you know, and put you on a trajectory for, you know, having a decent day.
You know, I think, Tom, as a human race, we're evolving, but at the same time the shit is hitting the fan for a lot of people. It's starting with the government on down, and what's going to change the world is each of us individually, you know, questioning like you're questioning and finding our own little joy and peace in our own little lives, and then paying that forward. That's what's going to change the world. We're going to change the world one child at a time, really.
What about the reverse of cold? Like I've heard people say, you know, you go in a sauna for you know, X amount of minutes and it activates. I keep on hearing this thing called heat shock proteins. Like you raise your, you know, I don't know if it's internal body temperature, but it releases some sort of, I don't know, hormone, chemical, something happens where it has like anti-inflammatory, you know, responses in your body. I don't know if you know anything about that, but.
Well, that's something chemistry-wise, even though I have a background in chemistry, I haven't researched the science of the chemistry of it. But think of it logically. When you're in a heat environment and you're opening up your pores, mm-hmm. and you, I mean, the skin is the biggest detoxifying organ of the body. So that alone is a benefit right there.
I'm just laughing because I was in the sun. I try not to
right.
get, you know, especially in Key West, you can
sure.
overdo the sun, sunstroke, like, yeah. you know. And on, what was it, Sunday? The Jimmy Buffett, you right. know, pass yeah. away first right. line thing. They, you know, yeah. marching up and down Duval Street. So, you know, I was out there taking pictures and, you know, being with people and all that stuff. You know, sun's pounding on me. And I'm joking with one of my friends that's has a long sleeve shirt on, a big hat. You know what I mean? Just mm-hmm. even more, you know, covered up. Not that I was pretty not covered up that day, but joking with my friend that's like completely covered up. And I was like, I feel like the sun is the greatest like metaphor for life. I was, you know, joking, how we both need it and it'll fucking kill you at the same time. And it's like, I'm going back to balance. I'm like, you need that balance of like a little's good, too much is bad.
Right.
And but I'm like the sun is, you know, the metaphor for, you know, existence. And I'm like, there's no wonder people were worshiping it, you know,
yeah,
years ago.
The sun worshipers, yeah.
It just stands to make sense. It's like what they saw. It's like their whole life revolved around right. it going up and down, and will it come back tomorrow? You know, kind of thing. But I'm just, you know, was laughing. I'm like, that thing, we can't live without it.
Right.
But too much of it's going right. to kill you. You get,
it's like life itself.
Yeah, it really is. I don't just.
It's a good
myself.
Metaphor.
I feel like white bread gets the most vicious rap in the world as being no nutritional value.
Oh, it's bleached.
No, you know, it's bad for you on every level. Is there a good bread that's not that frozen bread that's like not really doesn't seem bread? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. 'Cause I feel like for eons, you know, bread is what kept a civilization alive. Like, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? It was the food of the masses. Mm-hmm. It's what, you know, if you at least.
But that's before they tampered with the flour.
Is that what it is? That they yeah. killed
like
the good parts?
I remember I went to Italy. Oh, God, it's been a while now. But, you know, I'm a big supporter of taking digestive enzymes when I eat. And I'm sensitive to pasta because growing up in Italian, mm-hmm. especially your mom's Italian, you get a lot of pasta. Mm-hmm. And over the years, I became more gluten intolerant, even though I still eat it. I'm not like my daughter. She can't eat it at all. She's a pastry chef, right? But
wait, is she a pastry chef like a specific like for her lifestyle, or is she just pastry chef in general? Like,
oh no, her lifestyle. She was managing a whole bakery department in the one of the big chain of grocery stores uh-huh. in Lincoln, Nebraska.
So no. But so
yeah,
she's...
Yeah, so she had to breathe in that flour, even though, you know, so she definitely couldn't eat it. Imagine but when I went to Italy and ate pasta, I didn't even need to take my enzymes. Mm. I was like, and I didn't react to it. So it's like, it's how they process things. The more they process it, the more, it's a deviation from the balance of what the body needs, the more we pay the price.
Yeah. God damn it. Just makes me sad again. I'm going to Italy in next year for for
that's
a wedding.
First time?
No, I was once when I was early 20s, and
what part?
I was in Milan and Florence, and I remember, like, I went with my stepmother and saying, if I spoke Italian, you could have just left me here and I would have been fine. Oh, you know what I mean? Like, I would have been like, just the pace of life. I mean, this was 20 something years ago. Their pace of life and the fact that they take time out of their day to enjoy the day. Like, that's what struck me the most. I was like, mm-hmm. this guy's, I'm looking at, you know, the people moving around the cities. And I'm like, I know this guy's in the middle of his work day and he is nonchalantly sitting, having a cup of coffee, talking to his friends for what seemed to be, you know, an exorbitant amount of time. Mm-hmm. And he didn't seem worried about, shit, I got to get back to the office. I got to get back to, you know, whatever it was. It's like they took the time to enjoy life on a daily basis instead of being like,
they do. And that's
where I'm going to work 5 days a week. And then on the weekends, I'll be able to get a day into. And I'm like, I felt like I learned something from that experience. Mm-hmm. And I felt like France was like that as well. They were like, you know, playing soccer in the park and drinking wine on, you know, during lunch and like taking a second to enjoy the daylight.
Yeah.
And it once again makes me sad for America, because I mean, one of my favorite activities in Key West is sitting at Five Brothers on Southern Street, which is just a little corner grocery store that serves, you know, cafe con leches and stuff like that, and just sitting with, you know, the people and just bullshit. Well, what are you guys doing today? What are you doing today? And a lot of them are, you know, older. I mean, there's people in there. I mean, there's Dr. Ryan's grandma. Oh, she's she. I don't know if you've ever met her.
I met her once. Yeah.
She's 90.
Yeah.
And she walks her dog.
She's vibrant.
Oh my God,
yeah,
she is.
She was out walking her dog.
That's with it. How I hang out with her sometimes.
Yeah, that's cool.
And like, you know, the neighborhood people, whatever, the people from Bahama Village, and I'm like, this is my favorite part of the day. Right. Like some sort, there's a little sense of community.
Yeah.
If we weren't all here, we would not bump into each other. But these people are like my, like, that's she me. Is my friend. I'm like there's days where I'm like, Maryland's coffee's on me. Like, you know, just go and, you know, I'll pay for Maryland's coffee. We'll go bullshit for a little while outside. Like, but like taking the time out to enjoy, you know, a segment of your day. I feel like that's a major dopamine boost. Mm-hmm. And then like my wife like makes fun of me like for it. She's like, oh, you're out there like hanging out at Five Brothers for like, you know, an hour. I'm like, yeah, yeah. I want to enjoy a sector of my day. I'm like, yeah. I don't go out to the bars at night. I'm not a big drinker. I'm not like, it's just not, you know, it's probably why I lasted so long in Key West, because I'm not, you know, I don't, get into that. But I am a night person. I will say I'm more so than a daytime person for whatever reason. But taking a second to, you know, enjoy the day and not be inundated with just like, wake up, got to go to work and work until, you know, sun goes down and blah, blah, blah. It's, right. I don't know. I sound like a grumpy old man right now, but
you're being aware of what works for you, and you're being aware of things that have value. And that's great, Tom. I honor that.
I try. I try. I don't know what to say. I have an oddball question.
Sure.
Especially because you said you have a background in chemistry and, you know, stuff we put in and out of our bodies and stuff. Our body chemistry changes over time, right?
Mm-hmm. The metabolism changes.
And
hormones change.
Literally, I feel like certain aged people smell differently. Babies smell different than, you know what I mean? Teenagers. Teenagers smell different than people in the 30s. You know, there's such a thing as like, I've heard the phrase old man smell. Well, you guys got an old man smell, you know?
Right.
What is it? Like, what is the old man smell? What is the baby smell?
Well, the tissue starts to deteriorate.
Okay. That's literally what it is.
Yeah.
Tissue deteriorating, and it's just okay.
Yeah, and the accumulation of toxicity.
Okay, that's what I figured. I didn't know about the tissue deterioration, but like I figured it was the accumulation of what you've carried and can't get out of your body.
What rots in your body? Yeah,
that's crazy.
And then the tissues can't rebuild in a healthy fashion, so they start to break down as well.
Speaking of, you know, aging, breaking down, have you ever seen? There's a billionaire out there that has a son who he does blood transfers from his son to him. And he's on this quest for anti-aging. Like he wants to crack the code to longevity and not, you know, your body not breaking down. Have you ever done research on, you know, like blood transfusions from younger people to older people to...
No,
revitalize.
I know there's a lot of research with fecal implants.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know if you're familiar with that.
We'll
take someone
as a joke.
Yeah,
but I've heard,
but,
you know, not like
it's true. They'll take someone that, let's say, is a certain body type that's maybe fit, doesn't have much fat on the body, and take a fecal from that person mm-hmm. and put it in a person that's obese, and the flora in there Whoa. Will start to shift, and they'll start to lose the weight. There's a lot of research with
that's fecal that's implants. Real. Yeah, that's not real. Like a South Park joke. No. That's not like no. that's like a real thing.
Yeah,
people,
it's a real thing that fecal implants. The blood.
You figure you'd want yeah. shit to get out of your body, not put it in like that. I've never, well, you know.
So you know, some people have good shit. Some yeah. people don't.
Holy cow. Whoa, is that like a regulated practice? Like, is that?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm aware of it, but I don't yeah. know how extensive it is at this point. I looked at it a few years back.
Like, it makes sense.
Right. Yeah, but it's the flora, it's the environment. Yeah. I mean, we have an environment that lives within us. That's why the whole thing with the viruses. I mean, we're exposed to thousands yep. of viruses. You know, so the most logical thing to do is build your immune
yeah.
system.
Everybody get it and get it over yeah. with. Yeah.
Right.
I know. I had a virologist on the podcast during that time, and he's like, everybody's going to get it at some point.
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah, it's a matter of like, how strong your immune system is. Just figure it
out. And he's like, this, right. all this stuff is kind of like, you know, I don't know, craziness. And yeah, I don't know. Fecal transplants, though. Hmm. I'll have to look into that one.
You don't need it though.
Well, I'm sure. I'm not. Yeah, maybe one day. Who knows? Do you know enough about fecal transplants where you know if it's a blood type, like where you can, you know what I mean? Like certain blood types can go to certain blood types, but you can't.
That's
go.
That's a good question. I don't know. You know, is that's it? That's a really good question.
I'd be no curious idea. About that.
I have no idea. That's a good one. I'll have to look into that.
I'm giving you homework. We've been talking an hour and a half, and usually this around. So I just have it could go on, but I am enjoying speaking to you, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, I am
this
too.
Is great. This is great. The last year and a half, specifically because you told people about overweight people with the fecal transplant stuff, it just sparked in my mind. The drug Ozempic. The people are taking, it was a diabetes drug. People are taking it for weight loss now, and they don't know why they're losing weight. Like there's no, I guess, clinical studies on why certain people are losing weight with this drug. Are you aware of this drug or no?
I'm not aware of it.
Okay. No, let's stray away from that. Anyway, it was a
I heard drug for a diabetes, drug out there, but I haven't looked into it.
That it seemed like celebrities started taking, which makes them not hungry and lose weight. And it's become this pop culture phenomenon of like, you know, everybody is taking it that's over and nobody knows what it's really doing. And that's,
I'm surprised that there's not anybody out there that doesn't know how it works because there's a drug is no drug at all. First of all, unless it has a side effect.
Yeah.
You know, because it either blocks an enzyme pathway or a receptor site. So it's blocking mm-hmm. some kind of receptor site or an enzyme pathway to divert the metabolism so that the carbs are not being converted into fat.
Mm.
And so it's probably accentuating the fat metabolism and mitigating the carbohydrate metabolism. I suspect that's how it works.
Yeah, it's just like one of these where, you know, it's a miracle drug that makes,
right,
you know,
right.
it'll
but
shed.
See, that's that whole thing. Everybody's yeah. looking for the magic
yeah,
bullet.
Yeah, I know. Snake oil.
Right, it's the magic bullet. It's like the vaccine's going to be the magic bullet. It's going to save you. You know, that whole mentality, we've gone down that road and we've forgotten saying, hey, you know, take charge of your own health. Make yeah. your own choices. You know,
yep.
I mean, that's what I enjoy doing is helping people say, okay, where is your body currently at in its deviation from homeostasis? Because the further the deviation, the more. See, when back to what I said before about the connection to the internal organs,
uh-huh.
because they're connected to muscle groups. So I can tell for an examination, you know, what organs are stressed just physically from that palpation. And then if you were to collect your urine for 24 hours, we'd see an imbalance in the urine because that'll give you a window of what's going on. And then the blood work will only show imbalances when the body becomes exhausted.
Okay.
So you'll see body distortion and muscle contraction, 24-hour urinalysis changes, and then blood work. So when if I was to look at someone, and I've done this for years, where you evaluate them, you have them come in fasting, you examining them in a fasting state, check their posture, muscle contraction. We would give them a complete food to drink wait 45 minutes, 95% of the time, completely different posture. The shoulder went from this to this. I mean, it's just like, why? Because the body's trying to process that food. If it can't process it and the organs now are compromising, the muscle groups that are neurologically connected will then contract, and then you distort your relationship with gravity. And then you wonder, why did my back go out? I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
The cause was your chemistry, or the way you think, or the way you feel, or a combination thereof.
So do you believe in fasting as a regular thing,
Intermittent fasting is good because you're giving the body a break from processing too much that it can't handle.
Do you fast yourself?
I do.
Like
16 hours.
From what I understand about intermittent fasting, it's, you know, a daily thing where you only put food in your body for whatever it is, like 8 hours. And then the rest of the day you just let it go. But what about I think about the area I grew up in. It was, or I should say the school I went to at, you know, high school, middle school, it was a lot of Jewish kids and Indian kids and stuff. So I realized that in, I guess it's Hinduism, there's a fasting religious holiday, and you know, you would see people, you know, they're like, oh no, we're fasting for X amount of longevity, you know, fasting more than just like, you know, not intermittent, but like where I feel like they would go like a week or something.
Yeah, sure.
Is that good for your body, or is it at a point where it's like it reverses it to this isn't any longer?
I think anything in moderation is good for the body, and giving the body a break certainly. And then you gotta pay attention of what you introduce back into the body after you get off of fast too, because you want to ease back into it. You know, maybe some juicing and raw foods and that sort of thing. I mean, anything that when you give your body a break from the barrage of all the crappy foods that were with all the poisons that are in it, and then you do a fast. And then, you know, of course, you need to do water along with that fast. But then when you ease back out, you want something your body can process that's healthy and, of course, ease back into your lifestyle again.
Yeah.
So any of that is really good. You just have to see what works for your body.
I feel like I tried to do one of those, you know, master cleanse, like fasting. You know what I mean? Like minimal. And I made it 3 days, and I was a miserable, miserable person.
Oh, yeah, probably low blood sugar levels.
Yeah.
And you couldn't focus. And
I was just irritable and, just like, you know, but I would, it make something like that makes sense. Fasting makes sense to my brain. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you have a machine.
Right.
It's like, okay, we're running a car.
Mm-hmm.
If you run it for 24 hours, it's more likely to break down.
Yeah.
Give it a rest for a second.
Exactly.
And you know what I mean? Like, let everything go back to normal. So I view it sort of like that, and I've always wanted to have the time to focus on such a thing.
Sure.
But like, where am I going to find the time for that? You know, I already feel like I'm working 6 days a week, and I'm trying to, you know, raise a kid and make sure the mortgage is paid stuff. And I'm like, I feel like it's like the kind of thing where you almost have to like go on a vacation just to specifically, you know, not eat or something. And I couldn't imagine, you know, I bartend two nights a week, like having just nothing in my body and being able to stand there for 8 hours and be personable enough to somebody's going to tip me and be like, what do you want? I'm on day three of a fast and I'm going to lose my mind. You know, like I just don't, don't see how I could, you know, fit that into the scope of whatever. But anyway, Dr. Lou, it was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Me
too, Tom.
Come back anytime if you ever, you know, have something to talk about. We went on tangents.
We need to go hang out at Five Brothers.
Seriously. are you a coffee person or no?
Oh, totally.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Just out of curiosity,
I have a DeLonghi espresso machine.
Gotcha.
I make my espresso every morning.
Good for you. I'm surprised that, you know, with all your dietary nutritional stuff, you're like, keep coffee in the mix.
Yeah, coffee's good.
I think it is too. I hate saying it, but This body is run on coffee and cigarettes, right. I'm ashamed to say, but
you all have to our fix that gives us some kind of...
All right. Dr. Lou, thank you for coming. Appreciate you.
Right, thank you, Tom. Flips Podcast Show. Whew, that was long. I enjoyed it, Tom.
I enjoyed it too, man. It's good to get to know you.
We're going
to
be good friends, man. We're going to be good friends. It's Tom Flips Podcast Show.